All right, let's lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline because we've reached that juncture on a Thursday where we get our view from the north. Tick, 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 about 50 hours from kickoff. Finest work for Comcast SportsNet, Channel 737. On your Comcast Xfinity system online, csnnw.com. He's got that multi-part special on Coach Taggart. Follow along on Twitter. The handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how's it going?
Hold on, I'm jamming. Hold on. I'm moonwalking. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, man? I had to finish that moonwalk. Once I get rolling, I gotta.
I was just saying, are you busy getting your groove back?
That song gets me every time, man. Gets me every time.
So I saw in Talking Ducks, Joey Harrington brought up an interesting point. He said, you know, when Michigan fired Lloyd Carr, who had 20 wins over two seasons, Bo Pelini at Nebraska never won less than 9 games. And I think he used the term, would Oregon be in danger of going into a death spiral with high expectations? But I don't know. Is that a little premature or is that how it starts? Bad season, clean house. So now if in a year or two this staff isn't progressing towards, you know, the upper echelon again, is it time to beware?
Yeah, we talked about this a lot last year. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And you know, one of the things Joey and Newman and even Jordan always talked about was the legacy of the coaching staff with so many guys being there for so long in the lineage from Brooks to Bellotti to Kelly to Helfrich. And that if you break that chain, what do you end up with? And there are, we all know there are programs out there that, you know, clean house, bring in a few guys, they don't work out, clean house, they keep going through the cycle. And that's their fear, that could happen to Oregon. I mean, 3 years, if the Ducks under Taggart don't win more than 7 games, if the bar has been set so high to where you blew out the last staff after one bad season, are you going to blow out this staff? Or is Taggart going to do well and win, and then he's just going to leave, and then you hire another staff, and then they struggle, or assistants are leaving all the time, and it's just not that continuity anymore. What do you have as a program? What defines your program? And that's, I think, a concern for a lot of the older veteran, former Ducks who've been around for so long. They sort of like the fact that there was always this tie-in to the program. I do think it's premature to say that's going to happen. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. For all we know, Taggart can be there 15 years,
right,
and win 3 national titles. Everything's going to be great, right? so we just don't know. But I think if you're looking at it from an ex-player's perspective whose dad played there, I mean, I guess he was saying last night his dad started the first game ever at Austin 50 years ago.
Wow.
You know, right. So this is a guy who has that much of a long-standing tie to the program, but he wants to see it thrive. And so he's worried, though, that the expectations have gotten so whacked that no one can live up to them, and we're just going to see coaching staff after coaching staff after coaching staff coming through there chasing the ghost of Chip Kelly.
The ghost of Chip Kelly, good one.
You
hit on an interesting topic, you know, save the notable controversy surrounding those players that ended up in the hospital. And all those guys ended up defending the coaches. But otherwise, the offseason since the hiring of Willie Taggart, I mean, everything looks really good. But from your chair, the way you said it, all well and good, but that really doesn't matter right now.
Exactly. And they know that. Taggart knows that. Taggart joked about it the other day on Monday. We walked in and said, kind of looked at the media and was sort of reading our mind going, let's see what you're all about, Willie Taggart. <You know? laughs> And it's game time. It's go time. And they had a great offseason. I mean, he hired and was seemingly as an all-star coaching staff with a bunch of great recruiters. You got some big-name assistants with Salavea, Cristobal, and Levitt. Even Arroyo, who was in the NFL, and other guys as well. And then that green class finished 18th last year. This class right now is in the top 10. They've had some amazing signing days, some amazing recruiting events. I mean, it's been a great offseason. There's no doubt about it. Probably the only bad thing besides the obvious one is that you lost 2 quarterbacks who transferred.
Right.
Darren Kicker got in trouble. That's it. So, but that, you know, so that has raised some excitement and got people fired up. But none of those recruits from next class are going to be playing this year. And they're going to have to make do with what they got. And so what happens is once the game starts, and reality hits, then you can start see where certain pockets of the fan base start moving to. Like, if they're really winning, then obviously people are going to jump the bandwagon. But if they lose a game or get blown out a game, or maybe it looks like they're only going to finish 7-5 and and not win nine, and then certain people say, oh, this is a bad hire, or give them time. It's just, I think this season, week to week, is just going to create a bunch of different storylines that are all going to be premature, but it's going to be there because of the mystery of everything going on. That's a big mystery, let's face it. I mean, it just is.
No, there's 17 different directions this thing could go in.
Here's a hot stat for you. So, we all know they went from Brooks to Bilotti, Chip Kelly to Helfrich. And a lot of people have pointed to, well, Taggart's not all that experienced, or he's only had a couple of small-time jobs, whatever. But here's the deal. Willie Taggart has more head coaching experience than all four of those other coaches I named combined before they became the head coach at Oregon.
No, that's amazing. And you consider at what levels they were before they got here as well.
Well, Bilotti is the only one with head coaching experience before he became the head coach at Oregon. He has 5 years at Chico State. Go look at his record. Not good. And then Rich Brooks' first head coaching job was Oregon. Same thing with Kelly and Helfrich. So my point is that Taggart has done more as a head coach than the previous four head coaches ever did before they got to Oregon.
Good one. I like that tidbit. I will jot that down. We're talking with Aaron Ventress at Comcast SportsNet. So the new show, The Five, you had Coach Bilotti, Campbell, good panel discussion. You guys were talking about the best duck backs ever. You brought up Kenyon Barner, who's one of my favorite football players ever. I actually think he could have played DB, receiver. So there was a lot of good talk about that. Do you see him as a guy who obviously would have done more without LaMichael in front of him? Did he benefit from just that productive system? What was your read on, you know, his Duck career and maybe his place in this school's history?
Yeah, he's a funny one because obviously he had that killer season. That big season he had was just as good as all of LaMichael's seasons. He had three obviously great seasons. But clearly he was a spread guy. And I don't know if he would have been a 1,000-yard back in a pro-style system. I don't know if he was big enough to endure that. And I do believe that a lot of those pro-style running backs they had, the Reuben Joneses, the Ontarios, and the Maurice Morrises, and Lavelles, I think all of those guys are going to rush for 4,000-plus in 3 years in this current system. And, you know, look what Royce is going to do. Royce is going to have a chance to get to 5,000. LaMichael got 5,000. Barner was a backup for 3 years and started 1 year, had 4,000.
Yeah.
Right? So you're looking at all a bunch of guys that put up big numbers in the system. And Stewart, had he been healthy, would have put up 4. Had he come back, would have put up 5. But anyway, there's a whole system argument. There's a talent argument. And for me, and this came up in the show, we were like, well, how do you count the NFL in this? And for me, the NFL validates the overall talent of a guy. If he's drafted highly and he produces in the NFL, that carries more weight than just playing well at Oregon and not playing well beyond that in terms of how good you really were. But your production at Oregon obviously matters. That's why, for me, I had Stewart 1 over LaMichael, because even though LaMichael had a more productive career, Stewart was clearly the better talent because he was drafted, and that's why he was drafted in the first round and has had a 10-year NFL career. So it was a fun debate. I loved being there with Bilotti and adding Campbell to the mix, and then we're going to have Pelham for a couple of the other subjects, including defense. But that was a lot of fun, very heated but spirited debate.
No, that was good stuff. So let's get to the depth chart, and the backup to Justin Herbert is some guy named Orr.
He's a baller, though, 3-star out of Santa Fe.
So are they hoping that Herbert remains upright and they would, you know, not want to burn the Burmeister red shirt and they'll get Allie in there? Or is it, it's Southern Utah, they can be coy? What do you make of no clear backup?
Well, you know, the question about Burmeister wanting the red shirt, I think, is legit. I think that would have been more legit had Travis Johnson and Terry Wilson stayed. I think at this point, unless Burmeister just isn't ready at all, I think you're going to play him when you get a chance to play him because you want him to be your backup. Because think about this. You know, even if Allie's your backup this year, which it looks like he might be at this point, he's going to be gone next year. So who's your backup next year?
Right.
You know, it's got to be Burmeister. So if you can get him some time now to get him ready, and he's, you know, I think Herbert might go pro after 2 more years anyway, so then you got 2 with Burmeister if he's your guy. And right now there isn't a quarterback in 2018 class, and there might not be one. So, you could be coming into next year with just those two, and maybe bringing in a JC guy or something. So they're going to play Burmeister, and they have to get him ready. But, no, it's scary. If you're a Duck fan, you remember what happened with Vernon Adams when he went down and how bad things were with Lockie and Allie. And they believe Allie has improved, but, dude, and I'm not saying he hasn't, but he played receiver last year for a reason. And he
didn't really play there.
Right.
And now he's your second string quarterback. That's got to be scary for Ducks fans. If Herbert goes down, that's going to be big time trouble.
No, I looked at that and that didn't sit right. Continue with Aaron Fentress. You wrote about Coach Tagg's first game week press conference, and you mentioned, you know, he's agreeing, time to see what it's all about. But we know this is going to be an easy game, hopefully. But can we learn much
what
from it?
What if it wasn't? What if it's 31-30?
Oh, you mean if there actually has a crunch time show up here in this game? But is it with this three games to start before conference play? I mean, if a game like this is close, or if they lose to Nebraska, kind of getting back to what we were talking about, things going to get a little tense around here pretty fast?
You know, I hope not. You know, and I think, you know, and we talked about this last night on Talking Ducks too, and Joey's point was, look, hey, you just fired the staff, and it's first losing season in 12 years, the bar has been raised, blah, blah, blah. But I would hope that sensibilities would play out that part of the reason you fire the old staff is because recruiting fell apart a little bit and they had to go young last year and they stunk. Well, if that was the case, you can't expect this staff to come in and win with the recruits you said were bad. And that's why I keep laughing at Ducks fans. You're like, we're going to win 9 or 10 games. Wait, with the recruits you just spent all of last year saying were awful? Like, how does that work? That's just completely illogical. So I think if they were, let's say Herbert missed a couple games for whatever reason. Let's say the defense was just up and down. A couple of the teams on the schedule rise in the Pac-12 and are better than maybe think they're going to be. And let's say they go 6-6 or 7-5. To me, you can't complain as a fan. You have to give the first staff, the staff's first year, you know, a mulligan and give them a chance to keep rebuilding the roster in what they want it to be, because you have a potential top 10, top 15 class coming in. So you see headway in recruiting, give the staff time to rebuild it the way they want to rebuild it, and don't cry and whine and complain as our point of thing is if they only win 6 or 7 games this year.
So you're saying use logic. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and we know how well that works out.
So apparently with the season so close and Oregon State looking so bad last week, I see you've got the return of the Twitter knucklehead. His handle was at PDX_Beav11. So if I'm reading this right, he said the Taggart hire was just about hype, which I'm like, I don't remember a lot of hype surrounding the hiring of Willie Taggart.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of those, and I've got someone saying they hope it doesn't work out because of all the hype surrounding him. And some people have pointed and said, why are you hyping him so much? I'm like, we're not hyping him. We're reporting on him. Like,
he's the
new coach for the Ducks, right? And we got access to go to Tampa, and he's got this great backstory with the Harbaugh. So we went to Ann Arbor, and we did this documentary, which is awesome. If you haven't seen it yet, go to CSNW.com or look for it on Comcast. It's awesome. I'm doing a 5-part series, which has more detail in it for our website. And we're reporting on him. Not one time in any of this stuff are we saying he's going to be the greatest coach ever and win the national title. We're just reporting his story. And it's just funny that people read that as being hype. So, yeah, I just straighten that guy out. And I think also he's a Beaver fan. Some other Beaver fan was mad because they're like, why don't you do the same thing for Anderson? And I'm like, well, you know, there's an argument to be made for that. Why didn't we? But Ducks are a bigger deal than the Beavers. I don't know what to tell you. And Taggart has given us great access. So it is what it is. Who knows what's going to happen? But our reporting has nothing to do with predicting great success. We're just reporting on this guy so people know more about him since he's a new coach.
So you get paid to cover Oregon. They hire a new coach. You report on him. Man, what a homer, Fentress.
Someone said you should wait till he does something first. I'm like, this isn't high school. Like, it's like, I'm not going to wait till the junior in high school to test him before I write a story on him. I'm like, he's the head coach now making $3 million a year. Do you want to know who he is or not?
There you go. All right,
I want to know who he is. I'm covering him. I want to know.
All right, let's wrap with this. The NBA came out of Vegas with their over-unders for regular season wins. They've got Golden State at 67.5. Which is crazy because 68 or more has only happened 6 times.
I know. That's crazy.
So they have the Blazers at 42.5, and they've
like
got
over
from 54, 51, 44, 41 last year. Does that number sound right, wrong, or neighborhood?
I think it's underestimating them, because I think Nurkic having him for the full year is going to make this team better than it was last year. I think Evan Turner is going to be better in this system last year after getting his feet wet with the team last year. I do worry about losing the Allen Crabb. I thought he was an underrated player for this team. I believe he shot like 44% from threes or something like that. But I think Lillard and McCollum are going to play better together. I think they're still evolving as a duo. I would go over the 42 wins and just hope they don't start out poorly like they did last year. If they can start out hot, they're going to clear it easily. I think this is a better team than 42 wins.
All righty. Well, appreciate the time.
And I'm saying a lot better. It might only be 46.
No, I got you. Hey, it's an over-under. It's not a lot of wiggle room at the sports book. Keep up with Aaron at CSN and W.
What? We didn't talk fight.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about it. I thought McGregor afforded himself really well. My main concern was, all right, what kind of farce are they going to pull out of their rear ends to guarantee a rematch? They didn't. I watched the whole fight. I thought the ref did the absolute right job in stopping it after 9 unanswered blows to the head. So as far as I was concerned, it was totally worth it.
I thought it was entertaining, but I think it's ridiculous that people are giving Conor credit for going 9 or 10 when he only went 9 or 10 against a 40-year-old fighter who doesn't knock people out anyway because he was letting him laugh to wear him out.
Yep.
I think it's just, to me, once he decided to start fighting, it was a 5-round fight. And that was it.
And also, for those who were saying that McGregor could, you know, lead to fighting some other guys, I'm like, they have to understand.
God, no.
Mayweather hadn't knocked anybody out since Ricky Hatton 10 years ago.
Exactly.
You get
only,
in there
he's
with
only a, had yeah. 5 knockouts since 03.
And if you get in there with a middleweight or a guy at this level who's 28, 29, and in his prime, I don't think we're, he gave away 11 years there, and
exactly.
I think that did make a difference.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
All right, man.
You travel safe, and I'll talk to you on Saturday.
All right, save me an old cookie.
All right, take it easy.
All right,
Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet.